Blog Talk Radio.
From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans, it's 4 o'clock. Welcome to the Sunday edition of American Vernacular. Today is January 6, 2013. My name is Sandra Booker, and I will be your host for the next 60 minutes as we discuss the political, economic, social, and cultural issues facing our nation. Let me take an opportunity to wish you all a very happy new year, and welcome to the program.
Don't trouble the water.
I won't
leave it alone. Why don't you let it be? Still water run deep. Yes, it do.
I know that.
Oh, yeah.
If you only believe.
Oh,
every Sunday afternoon to you, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, and friends and family of American Vernacular. And welcome to the program. It's wonderful to be here with you on this sort of hazy gray Sunday afternoon here in beautiful southern Los Angeles, California. And boy, what a week it's been. A lot of stuff going on. We managed to avoid the fiscal cliff, courtesy of our contemporaries in the House of Representatives controlled by the Republicans. And it seems we're going to be having to gear up for another battle very, very soon. Unfortunately, I think it's a disservice to the American people. But we're going to talk about a lot of stuff today. I just, you know, try to start things off slow, but I don't know if that's always the best way. Anyhow, as some of you out there listening may know, I am an absolute jazz aficionado. I love this stuff. I grew up in New Orleans. I've heard some of the best music you could possibly ever want to hear, and it's just part of the life experience in a place as artistically diverse and creative as the city of New Orleans. And I want to hip you all to some wonderful venues that I think you really want to check out if you are in the Los Angeles area. The first one is Garrett Morris's Downtown Comedy Club. It's located at 5th and Spring in downtown Los Angeles. The telephone number is 213-841-3940. And this club is great because, number one, Garrett Morris, who is the oldest living member of Saturday Night Live, is the executive producer. He's the host. He and a wonderful gentleman from New Orleans named Kevin Gagne have been doing this now for probably 5 or 6 years. And if you want to really get your funny on and hear some great jazz and blues music, you want to check this place out. It is one of my favorite places to go. It's always a happy, friendly environment. And it's the only jazz, blues, and comedy club in downtown Los Angeles. So if you get a chance, definitely check that out. You can find them on Facebook, the Downtown Comedy Club. And Be Still My Beating Heart. There is a new exclusively jazz venue in Beverly Hills called Home, House of Music and Entertainment. It is located at 430 North Camden Drive, and I have to tell you, it is a jazz musician's dream come true in heaven. It's five-star dining. It has to be one of the most gorgeous jazz venues I've ever seen. I'm looking forward to having the owner, Dennis Anthony, on the show to tell all our listeners about this beautiful, beautiful venue and what inspired him to create it in the heart of Beverly Hills. But if you have not been there, if you haven't heard of it, if nobody's told you about it, if you haven't seen it in the newspapers, do yourself a favor and go to www.home90210.com and check this place out. If you've got a special occasion coming up and you want to really make it a night you will never, ever forget, this is the place to check out. So that's my big tip for the day, folks. And I hope you will take the time to, you know, go out and support live music, go out and support independent artists. We try to be a part of that here at American Vernacular, even with our Sunday edition. And stick around for the 5 o'clock hour when we will be featuring our Spirit and Soul show, where we play a lot of really good music from the 70s. 80s and 90s, and a little bit from the 2000s too, I guess, to mellow you out on your Sunday afternoon. So, all right, well, folks, we're going to get into it today. Today's show, I decided that today I wanted to talk about something that I think is very, very important and something that we don't talk about enough. And what that is what does religious freedom mean in the United States of America? What does it mean to have the right to worship and the right not to worship? Particularly in the black community. And I want to address it in the black community. Because most people assume that if you are African American, if you are black, if you are this descendant of Negroes, that we're all Christians. that all black people believe in God, serve God, worship God, are Christian or some form of organized religion. Well, that's not true. That's just not true. And there are many people of color, blacks specifically, who do not embrace the idea of a deity being all-powerful and all-knowing and all-controlling in their lives. There is a growing number of blacks, not only in this country but around the world, who are absolutely rejecting the idea of a higher power. And just as we have defended people's right to have religious views in this country, sadly, we're becoming a nation every day that is denying the people the right to stand up and say, I choose not to believe in that. I will not allow my life to be governed by what I cannot see, what cannot be proven to me, what I do not have evidence, hard evidence to support. I, as a self-identified non-believer or humanist, secularist, whatever you want to call it, atheist, if I live in a country where I'm truly free to believe as I choose and live accordingly, I should not have a mere mortal telling me that I am going to be condemned to live eternity in a place they've never been or seen. The comedian Ricky Gervais says something that's very true, and I want to repeat it here. Why is saying there is no God considered disrespectful to believers? But saying there is a God is not considered disrespectful to atheists or non-believers. If you choose to believe that there is a higher power that controls your life, your future, your destiny, and you are entitled to believe that, on the other hand, should someone choose not to believe that, or if they ask you for evidence and you can't provide it, like the ability to raise the dead because you have the faith of a mustard seed, how is that person disrespectful to say, I don't believe this? Doesn't that person have the right to say, I don't believe this, and I don't have to believe this, and until you can provide me with evidence that brings me to the conclusion that what you're saying is true, I don't have to believe this? We step on a lot of people's toes in this country. And for a lot of black people, I understand why the idea of a Christ, of a savior, of a Lord, of a protector, I can understand why that is something that would be very, very important to you. But let's look at the evidence. Troops from around the world showed up in Poland to free the Jews. People died, laid their lives on the line to free a people who were oppressed. What nation sent anyone here to free the Negro? In the name of God. What nation sent a single soldier, battalion, militia, to the shores of the United States
to defend the rights of Negro people because it was the Christian thing to do. I don't recall ever reading that in any of the history books. Just like I don't recall ever reading that any nation, that God sent anybody to defend the Native American Indians. So if someone chooses to take the position that if there is a God, that God didn't speak up for me, that God didn't stand up for me, that God did not defend me, that God did not protect me from being shoved in a boat and shipped on the other side of the world to live in servitude for eternity, or at least for as long as I'm alive and my children and their 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 children. I can understand where that might be a problem for some persons to keep embracing the idea that there is a God that can do all these things for me and yet does nothing for me. I personally cannot tell somebody what to believe or why they believe it. I cannot tell you what your relationship is with this God. But I have never seen him or her or it. I have never spoken to them face to face. They never show up at the morgue. They do nothing about people who jump out of windows. They have no ability to deflect bullets. So I don't know of this great and mighty and powerful and bold God that people speak of so eloquently, so enthusiastically, with such reverence. I can understand how a person of color might say, there is no God if I live in the greatest country in the world in all the history of mankind, and I'm still called a minority under the law. If we are a Christian nation, and it's interesting how we've gone from being a Judeo-Christian nation to a Christian nation. I thought that was very interesting, the way that was constantly being pointed out during the debates. We're a Christian nation, as opposed to a Judeo-Christian nation. But if we are a Christian nation, how is that we as a nation don't live up to the principles of what it means to be Christian at all? I hear people stand up and say, you know what, I oppose abortion, but I have yet to see a single program that teaches young men the virtue of their virginity. I haven't seen that. I have yet to see men step up and start a campaign that denounces rape and sodomy and pedophilia the way neighborhood watch groups are put together. I have yet to see that. I've yet to see that from the Christian community. I've yet to see a band of Catholics stand up and denounce the behavior of the Catholic Church and their protection of sexual predators. If anybody's got that email, I'd love to see it. I'd love to see it. If we are a Christian nation, how can we treat animals in this country the way that we treat them, considering we euthanize millions of dogs and cats every year? Aren't they living things? I'm struck when I hear black people denounce homosexuals. When if we going to really tell the truth, how many of our black churches have black choirs that are predominantly gay? Can I get an amen, everybody? And yet we stand up and we say, you know, marriage should be between a man and a woman. Well, in the black community, there doesn't seem to be that much marriage going on. Not if daddy's in prison and mama's a single mama. So how can the bond of sacred marriage be being broken when there are no marriages to begin with? Because everybody's cool with having their kids out of wedlock. That's just my baby daddy. So I can kind of understand when a black person says, you know what, I'm not getting this religion thing. I'm not comfortable with this anymore. I can't embrace this anymore. I have certain opinions of it because for the amount of money that has been raised by the black church, why are all of those areas impoverished? When has the black church built a university, a college? A foreign language center, a museum? How many black pastors have Lear jets now? $300,000 automobile. All you need to do is drive down Crenshaw in Los Angeles, and you will see some extraordinary churches. But what I don't see are extraordinary streets and roads and schools and mentoring systems, centers, and grocery stores that sell quality produce. I don't see that in the black community. I don't see the black church doing that in the black community. I don't see the black church handing out instruments to keep their children off the street, offering scholarships to colleges. I don't see the black church doing that. If you're raising that kind of money, why are you not feeding the people in your community food, providing them with clothing, education, health care? Because it seems to me if the church, with all the money that it raises, if it's there to do the work and will of a God, why is it failing so miserably to do that work, to do that will? Change. I don't know what's going to change. But I think it's time for us to have a dialogue about what it means to be a part of the black church, what the role of the black church is in the community, and maybe it's time to have a defection from the black church. Maybe the black church is no longer what it started out to be, what it was intended to be. A place to stand up and highlight the hypocrisy of our white Christian brothers and sisters in this country. Let the church say amen. We don't want to have the hard conversations, the real conversations, the true conversations. We want to keep it all under the rug and just pretend that everything is okay. Everything's not okay. Everything's not okay. It's not okay to be a minority in the land of your birth. So I can understand how someone says, when am I going to be equal under this great God of yours? As someone who used to be a self-identified Christian, I can no longer ever aspire to be that based on the evidence. How can you be blessed and highly favored in the eyes of a God and still be told and treated as if you are a second-class citizen in the land of your birth? And if we're not making it here on earth and getting along with each other here, right now, if those who have and who seem favored by God, who enjoy his favor or her favor or its grace, because let's face it, if you're wealthy, somebody has smiled on you. Someone's made it okay for you. Why have those people not embraced the idea of generosity and really doing the work of a God? If there's anybody out there that feel like talking about this, call me up. I'd like to hear from you. The lines are open. We are at 619-768-2924. Again, that's 619-768-2924.
le café du monde. The moon was shining bright, sweet Magnoliasville, Jackson Square. The atmosphere was right, just right to fit in le café du monde. He jested with a smile, and I replied,
American Vernacular on Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
On a Clear Day by the When Love Happens Jazz Orchestra, recorded live at the Madrid Theater, June 12, 2009, to commemorate the legalization of interracial marriage in America. Hope you enjoyed that. And if you have not gotten your copy of the When Love Happens Loving Day concert, you can get that at CD Baby or on Amazon.com. It's a great recording. And lots of really cool people on it, like Tamir Hendelman, John Lefwich, Robert Perkins, Esther Godinez, and the Elevation Strings, yours truly, on vocals. And we were having a wonderful conversation about atheism in America, particularly black atheism and the rise of black atheists in this country. And why that's such a rub for the black church. And I think... I don't find it as a surprise that so many people have become frustrated with religion, frustrated with what religion says it stands for, and bitterly disappointed with how it behaves itself and how it really is allowed to behave itself. Mahatma Gandhi once said, "There is no God higher than truth." And it's time for us to have some truth. The truth is, if you are a living being, you're going to die. That's just true. How you die is a completely different matter. You will have upheaval, disappointment, heartaches and heartbreaks. There will be people who will do things to you that are beyond your control to prevent. But there is no magic potion to fix that. And if we spent less of our time praying to a God to give us what we want rather than working for a world where we're all better off for being in it, I find an exercise in futility. If we want better, we can have better. But we have to want it and we have to be willing to work for it. That doesn't require prayer, people. That doesn't require denouncing others to make ourselves of value. It doesn't require any of that. I don't believe I have the right to kill anything. Not if life is not something I can give or replace. I do not believe I am preferred over any other human being on the face of the earth simply by virtue of the color of my skin or my preference for a deity. And I have to reject the idea that any person is, because I see no proof of that. And I find it particularly difficult to believe that a God who has everything, everything, whose will it is that I should have everything, allows so many, so many to live in poverty, to live destitute, with no hope. And yet people still emerge victorious under those horrible, horrible conditions. I would like to live in a nation where salvation is not rammed down my throat. I want to live in a nation where I can choose not to believe in religion and not be demonized. I want to live without religious persecution. And there are others of us who want to live the same way, free to exercise our First Amendment rights, to believe or not to believe whatever we want. And if we are told we have to believe something, we should be entitled to ask for evidence. Evidence. And if that evidence cannot be provided to satisfy the truth that there is an almighty and living God, let us stop victimizing people who take the position there is not. I cannot believe that there is a God, great, strong, and mighty, and powerful, that would allow any person to walk into an elementary school and gun down children. I can't get with that God. And I certainly can't get with that God if that God felt that was cool because he's not invited to school. That's not a God. That's a bully. That's a punk. That's a jerk. And that's just true. Now, I know some of you folks out there think, wow, atheists, you know, they believe in the devil. That's not true. I'll speak for myself. I don't believe in the devil. There's no devil. There's no God. That's why nobody reaches for a Bible when they're being robbed if they've got the option of a gun. You cannot have a God Almighty and still have so much fear that you need a gun. You cannot burn the most sacred symbol in your religion and then tell me that your God is kind and merciful. I'm not buying that. Or as we say, where I come from, that soap don't wash, folk. I know there are lots of people out here who call themselves believers. And truly believe. They say they truly believe. But when does belief turn into action? And deed? That's the day I'm waiting for. When I can look at the world around me and say, these people practice what they preach. Someday, let us all hope. Someday. I don't even know what else to say, folks.
But I'm thankful to all of you who have tuned in. Keep tuning in. We're going to work this thing out. We'll get it straight. Sometimes I'm so frustrated because I'm like, how can the world be so incredibly stupid? How can we as human beings be so incredibly stupid? And we've given all our power to hocus pocus and saints and spooks and things we've never met, things that go bump in the night. And in doing so, we give up all of our power to really affect change and do something extraordinary. And I hope that there will come a day where we recognize our own ability to achieve greatness and not always turning it over to the phantom in the closet.
Oh, what made God in the snow, in the winter? Why do old people die? Where is God when a baby?
What Made God, performed by the Zen Love Happens Jazz Orchestra. To commemorate Loving Day, which is June 12th, yours truly on vocals, featuring Tamir Hendelman on piano, Larry Kuntz on guitar, Thomas White on drums, John Lovewich on bass. If you have not checked out that CD, by all means do. You can find it on Amazon.com or CDBaby.com. Ladies and gentlemen, please tune in this Tuesday. We're going to be, check us out online. You can reach us at www.americanvernacular.org and check out the new schedule. And we're going to be making some changes to the show. And I want to thank everybody that's continued to follow us, all our live listeners, or those of you who check us out in podcast. I really appreciate it. This program is here for you. And I appreciate you allowing me this platform on which to do a little ranting myself. For those of you who enjoy my musical exploits, please visit me at sandrabooker.com and you can get information on upcoming performances and things of that nature. And we are going to close out this hour of the program, American Vernacular Sunday Edition, here on Block Talk Radio. And please stay tuned for the next hour as we feature our Spirit and Soul show right here on Block Talk Radio. You've been listening to American Vernacular on Blog Talk Radio. This program is produced by the Booker Group.
Thank you.
American Vernacular on Blog Talk Radio.
with so many roads that seem to lead down to the sea. I wonder which road will be the right one for me. Others may fall away, dead ending left and right. But there is this one road, the journey's far out of sight. Have you wondered where your road will lead you? Maybe to a bright day of sunshine, or a starry night in heaven. Or it might be you're afraid to go, afraid to go. But you've got to follow your road, or you'll never know, never know. Thank you.
You know what I think heaven is? I think heaven is you. You know that? Listen. A place where I can find
Listening to Spirit and Soul on Sundays on American Vernacular on Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you. love with you. If she can dress for a date without that weight you hate, the lady's in love with you. And when your friends ask you over to join the table, but she picks that faraway booth for two, well, sir, that's how it stands. You've got romance on your hands.